The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Get out your racing form, pour yourself some Yukon Jack, sit back and relax, the Frank is on.
Wait till they get a load of me.
Frank Cotolo makes me smile, Frank Cotolo makes me dance.
Beware the Mars hoax.
Frank Cotolo makes me smile, Frank Cotolo makes me dance.
Thank you. Chapter 4.
There were so many things he did that he had no trouble doing, but he wondered why he couldn't do the things that he did well all the time and be done with it. But there were other things to do. There was so much to do. Because life was not done until you've done the things you need to do, and not all the things you need to do were done so easily. And he tried. He did them. Even though he did not do them well, he did them. He did. So many other people did the things that were normally done very well, and he didn't do those things well. The things he did well just weren't done by others who did things. So sometimes he felt he was done. He would sit back and say, "Put a fork in me. I'm done. I did what I had to do, and I'm doing more to see if I can do the things that other people get done so that something in my life can be done, and I can say I did it. I did it well. Not like the things I did well. I did the difficult things. I did them difficultly, but I did them, and they're done. And that's the end of it."
Because here it comes. I thought I saw it coming. I just had this ringing in my ears that said, "Here it comes." I know I hear it. I know it's on the way. Here it comes. And I'm telling you, in this event, in that event, and in all events, certainly in this event. What is it? I think it's this way. In that case, in this case, and in every case, coming up. Probably one of the more serious things I ever did in my life. Without my pants. So come on! Everyone! You will be there. And we will be there with you. When you are there. What is it?
Cthulhu Crackles.
It's on right now.
Broadcasting, the vegetable man, the third man, the godfather of internet radio. Here as I was 6 years ago, 6 years before that, and 6 years before that. And here I am again. Cthulhu Chronicles begins Y2K plus 17. I am a subreddit. Make me a subreddit. Somebody, make me, Cthulhu, a subreddit. I am part of the American Social News Aggregation. I am. Therefore, I am. Hey, here. I am, therefore I am. Hello, welcome. Here we go again. March marches on. Fake entertainment. That's right. The entertainment is fake, but the laughs are real. And so is the entertainment that is fake. Is not, I don't know. Great three words to learn and use. I'm Frank Cotomo, man whose name is Don't Title the Show. Here we go. I'm a ice cap around the city from Othello and into every bordello. That 6 minutes that started this particular show was from March. Oh, no, it was from, no, it wasn't from, November. I can't even read my own writing. It was from November 4th, Y2K plus 10. That was 6 years ago. And I just, what I did was I found a show that I kept saying I was going to play parts of the show when we did classic sections. When we didn't have guests, we don't have guests today. So I might play a little bit of that. Finding these shows that people have been requesting, they've been saying, would you play that show again? Or people who heard the show many years ago and, or had been, just remembered a show. Maybe they only heard one show and that was the show and they loved it. And every now and then I will stick in a classic CC, a CCC, a 3C, a 3C, Classic Cotomo Chronicles. And, that one, so I found the show. It's the one about the Incredible Shrinking Man. Always a favorite with many people who've listened to me over the years and know that I'm still here. And I went, wow, that was one of the best openings of collage openings ever. And for a while we were doing these 6, 7, 8, sometimes 10 minutes. I remember when, we were on Out Loud Radio when that started and, it didn't last long, but when we were on there, I remember we got on there because somebody asked the guy to listen. The guy who ran Out Loud Radio, listen to this show. And so he starts a show up and it's like, you know, you don't hear me per se talking on a talk show for like 10 minutes because of collage and everything that goes on. He said, that's the longest introduction ever. Well, that's so that people could run to the bathroom at the beginning or what have you. But you know what? He kept listening. And that was the problem with those openings, which they could have just went on and on and on. And people, eventually you reach the point where people go, I'm not waiting anymore to hear what Cotomo has to say, or this guy, if you don't know, I'm Cotomo. So, but I said, why don't I start that show with this? Cause it sounded really good. They weren't all great. Believe me, I don't know. I'm not the first person to tell you that. And I understand that. That's not just a personal thing either. That's because I know some of them just stunk. But recently and through this year, which is only up to March now, we've been doing old school, which is just to play the theme and ice cap, and then go into the show who's ever here. But we didn't, I just thought, you know, never keep anything the same. Always turn things around a bit because this is Cotomo Chronicles and I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show, and nothing we have done from the beginning of this show, which goes back more than three sets of six years ago. Although that was the 10th, 2010. Wow. And I continually show my, I don't even know what feeling that might be, my behoovement. I don't even know if there's a word, behoovement. I show my behoovement, how behooved I am that I'm still here with this, no less still here. And I am here and on all the stations, not all the stations, how many stations we were on that have come and gone. I didn't even mean for that to rhyme. There were many, many stations that were on and carried the show that have gone. And some of them came back. I think Sean Radio came back. We're still on Sean Radio, aren't we? True Talk Radio is still with us. Well, we're still with them even after they left and came back. And of course, SRN, the home state, the network, the network? No, the headquarters. Whatever. But a lot of things have changed. So if I don't get carried away with whatever, there's a lot of topics and things I'm going to bring up. This is a real potpourri of a show. I may put some of that incredible Shrinking Man stuff on. I don't have a cue or anything. We're just going to have to find a spot and do it. So remember, if you're hearing some things that refer to times of old, it is pieces, portions of this program have been pre-recorded. And those will be those ones. November 4th, 2010. That's amazing. I'm not going to get stuck on that because I got plenty of other things to get stuck upon. No less that. The Hallelujah Trail continues, of course. Wake up. It's night, everyone. I have some coffee here. And it is time to replenish your precious bodily fluids. Throughout this show, throughout the 2 hours, get yourself a beverage of choice. Make sure you hydrate yourself with that beverage. Replenish your precious bodily fluids. What I have here is coffee, black as hell, strong as death, but not sweet as love. Bitter as a fried grasshopper. Did 2 hours on that once. A good old Ralph Cotolo sip and drink of coffee. Gets cold down here very. The coffee gets cold. I don't. If that happens. What is it I'm telling you about? Many things are going on. And I have, let me give you a couple of, Jim, what, you actually have notes, Frank? Well, you know, I just got these scribblings, these scratchings here. Of course, we have a number of things that are going to be going on. And some things I've learned only today, throughout March, April, May, whatever. A lovely lady who has spent a great deal of time in Hollywood. Her name is Stacey Lane Wilson, and a while back, I don't know, man, sometime last year, Stacey, who I did not know when I was in Hollywood or whatever, from any way, shape, or form, but we'll learn a lot about her when she's here, because she's going to be here, and I just learned this recently, because her book, So L.A., is out, coming out, it's coming out in paperback, or it's out in hardback, or back, it's somewhere, it's coming back in paper or something. And I'll tell you why. I don't know if it wound up in the book. Stacey introduced herself to me a number of months ago and said that somebody told her I knew someone who she knew. And she wanted to mention that person in the book, her book, So LA. So she asked me to write something about him because no one else did. And I knew the fellow. And he was a wonderful fellow. And so I did. And so she liked it. And I don't know if it's in the book, but what the heck. I said, even whether it's in the book or not, I want Stacey, now that I know it's out, I want you to be on my show. And we'll help promote that book and get people to read the book by buying it and reading it. Like I always do with my books. And I thank you for those of you who have and continue to buy the book. Some people buy it more than once. Although I don't have the demographics of it or any of that. I do it. What am I saying? It. There's a bunch. Right? You go to Amazon. Okay. Well, I'll get into my stuff, which you know. The book So LA. So, maybe next week, maybe the week after that, we don't know. Stacey Lane Wilson will be on. It's a lovely lady and a Hollywood beauty. There's no doubt about it. Learn a lot about her life in LA. And of course, her and I will share things because I live life in LA. At a time when only people were allowed to live from the East, were allowed to walk the streets, you know, the old junk or whatever. There's later on in this show, I don't know, I didn't hear back from him. Later on this show, I may also call Dusty Nathan, who has returned from his typical journey into oblivion, where he goes every year once and he just disappears. We get in one way or another, he's going to be on the show and we'll talk about any number of things. Oddly enough, Dusty grew up in Hollywood too, but you know, now he's elsewhere. I'm not even going to tell you where. Michael Laskin and I will be back. I have some things. I don't know. Michael's not listening. I hope you're feeling better, Michael. Michael's had some trouble with pain or whatever. And I'm thinking I might be reading something from Hamlet. No, he's not going to let me, is he? And I'll read something I wrote. Maybe I'll practice that. On this show today, Dr. Andrew Woldoff, very busy always, because if he's not figuring out how long it is to get to Mars on a string than, you know, teaching things and know whatever he does up there. I know what he does. I know what he does. I just don't know exactly how he does it because I'm not smart enough to do that. But he'll be on. He's promised he will come on again. Heather Drain, Charles Dennis, Angela Gordon. I got to get her on again. I got to get in. I am so remiss. I love that word. But I don't like having to use it in terms of myself. I am remiss in getting back in touch with Angela Gordon. I'm just a horrible human being for that. But, you know, time goes by and then all these things happen. Who knew that in this, what week is this? This is the fifth, sixth week of this year? How can I have six? I love when this happens. How can I have six inboxes and I don't even see, I keep the mail on just in case something comes in that is necessary to show and, or I don't, can't show it to you. To express to you, I am remiss in that, and who and in Angela Gordon. That's what led me to say, who would have known that is March? I should have had, there were 2 weeks just no shows because I was a no show. I was a no show. I didn't show up, and so much has gone on there, and I'm still here. And there were moments when I thought, well, maybe I'll never be here again, and then I'm here. And then, if I take care of myself, I'll be here. And then as usual, but related to why I was a no-show for 2 weeks, now everything has changed. And I'm not going to go into that. And I'm not going to make that an entire show. We're just going to ignore those 2 weeks that they ran, whatever they ran on that. And, of course, we're going to do Search Roulette if I'm here alone. But we got the guests. And we remind you that, in general, this show is NSFW. Now, that's not true. I want to tell you something. NSFW is not safe for work if you got it on your phone or you got it on your, because it's going to have something your boss or the person, whoever your boss is or his boss, is going to see while you're at work, supposedly doing something, and then you got some entertainment on or and whatever you have on. And I'll tell you why, and this is, goes way back to the Yokohama fan club, Cthulhu Chronicles Yokohama fan club, way back. And they found me while at work, the group in Yokohama, Japan. And, I always get confused because I'm a Yokohama, Hamayoka. I always make up these lyrical, poetic, nonsensical combinations of words. But anyway, in Yokohama, I question the original word, right? But these young fellows and ladies in Japan found me while working in a tech job where they had computers everywhere. Imagine being in a tech job and there's no computers. And they would listen because of the time difference, we're on while they're at work the next day. And they would listen while they were at work, and they you can't watch, right? So they would do their work, and in their headphones, there was me, Frank Cthulhu. And so that went on, and they stayed with us, and that they grew until their boss. I kept saying, "Aren't you going to get into trouble for this? Listening while you're working, and listen while you work, do 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 do," and they did, and loved it. And what eventually happened was the boss, they were all their own bosses in a sense, what was that? The thing, things hit. I don't know, they all sound louder for me because I have my headphones on 9,000, onto 9,000. There is no 9,000, it only goes up to 10. And if I did that, it would completely turn off or get crazy, yeah. I like the way the interface. I don't even know if that's an interface. I don't know. I like the little designs it makes on the sound. What is that? On the recorder. Because it puts up these, I think they're blue. So I like to, I could tell you all day. I could sit here and just, You know what? I couldn't sit here all day and do that. I'm sorry. My name is Frank Atola, man's name, but don't the title show. So you see the coming distractions that I'm telling you about, lots of things going to go on as long as we go on, as long as I'm not a no-show here on this station, wherever you're listening to, whether you're listening to it live at SRN Thursday nights, 9 p.m., or lifelike. And that would be on the other stations like True Talk Radio, where we're on twice a day, and Sean Radio, I think, is still on there, and then Jiggy Jaguars, KJag, or whatever that. Plenty of things will be happening. I mean, we're going to have Grandpa Barry on again, too. I knew he was online now, but I'm not going to talk to him. Grandpa Barry is has been on. Barry Meadows has been on any number of times, but his new gig is on Yahoo. He has his own website, too, Grandpa Barry. Grandpa Barry's heartwarming, not so heartwarming tales. And I can give you any time I want. I can give you another taste of that. But I do have notes and everything. I just want to make sure that there's so many things that this difficult, because I'm a difficult historian. So to tell you all this stuff and make it last or make it any kind of, where else do you, okay, and don't forget Montreal Jewish News every week, pulp, political pulp. That's a lot of fun. And the 148.ca/Frank, all the new 2017 blogs are running, I think, almost one a week, so that's good. If you like it, you don't like it, you don't know about it, and it's not good. You know, so if it's good, you go to it. And what else do we have here? Da-da-da-da. I got to remind you again, someone asked me about Seven. When Seven was on and talked about his arcade, that and he has a website, I want you to go to Pinballorama. It's called Pinballorama. Or go to graylands.ca. Is that... I don't even take good notes. When this show began years ago, and I can give you an idea what that sounds like, because I have a number of little props. I guess I'll call them props. Things I have found. Soundtrack of one of the old, let me give you an idea of this. When the show was, wow, it was, this is like the first year, not the first, I can say the first year, I know, but the first couple of months on this show, and what we were going to do, and I have of it is a cassette. Do you people know what is a cassette tape? This is how I taped the show, because there was not enough power, there was not enough RAM or whatever it is you have to be able to record what I was doing. So I kept a cassette player, and I have the same cassette player, which goes to show how old this cassette player has become. And I found a tape which said on it, it says, Cotolo Chronicles. You ready for this? Remember when I said the last one was November 4th? I mean, the opening of this show came from November 4th, 2010. How about this? November 7th, 2002. That wasn't the first year, I think. Was it two or one? I don't know, but that was a long time ago. And this is a cassette it's a two-sided cassette of, let me give you an idea before I go into other stuff I'm going to go into here, because I have a potpourri of things here. Let me play this, put the speaker to the microphone. I'm not going to hook it up with a wire into the mixer. Okay. I want everything to really sound like it's on like Joe Franklin's Memory Lane. And that has gone over so many heads that it's losing, it's dissipating in the ionosphere, if that is truly the sphere I'm talking about, up there in space. Let me just put this, I don't know where it begins, but this is going to be my voice. Now remember, this is 15 years ago. The show is Cotolo Chronicles, a land-breaking show. Land-breaking? Wait a second. That's not right. Land-breaking? Landmark? What is that? Groundbreaking. Ground is land, right? Land is ground, so it could be a land-breaking show. And the only people I knew were listening went into a little chat room. So if you hear me saying hello to people, it's the people who were also involved in Ampcast.com. And a couple of people who did not identify themselves really called themselves things like, you know, Skullracker 263 and Pig Bottom 5. And, you know, lippy, hot lips, 6 tuning 29. I'm just making them up, but who knows? It doesn't matter. They made it up too. So here's me, Ben. Okay. To give you an idea of what you were listening to, sometime if you're listening to Cthulhu Chronicles. Why? And I said, you know, I said that because I said when I began this show, and I don't remember exactly where I was going with that, but listen to this. Listen.
Discovered that this week a new independent artist has joined our fold, because this is the week, the year of our Lord 2002 in November. It's the year, but please, I'm not laughing at this, okay? Please bear with me. It's just funny in relationship to everything we're talking about. Coco, K-O-K-O, okay, kids, is the name of California's famous, quote, talking, unquote, gorilla. For those of you who may have been visiting the planet Venus over the past 31 years, although some of you may not even have been alive, because I know we have some youngsters out there in the theater, Coco the Clown. I'm thinking there was a Coco. Wasn't there a Coco the Clown? The one who was the one who came out of the ink bottle? Coco the Clown. Wasn't he the one that in the cartoons or black and white cartoons came out of the ink bottle?
No, but I don't think it's Coco.
It wasn't Coco the Clown?
I don't believe so.
Okay, well, forget about Coco the Clown. Coco the Gorilla, for those of you who don't know, was born on. And I swear, this is all true now. I'm not making any of this up, okay? I kid you not. Coco is now 31 years old. Coco was born July 4th, 1971 in San Francisco in a zoo. And a young lady at the time, Dr. Penny Patterson, Dr. Penny Patterson recognized for some reason or another that Coco was smart. Now, I guess if you are into, what would be gorillaology? I don't know. Would that just be, what would that be? Stan? Is there a word for?
I'm sure there is. I'm sure I don't know.
Someone who studies gorillas or primates? Would that be a primate?
Right.
Studying a primate? Right. Would they be a primatologist? They could be.
Yes, they could be.
What was the name of the lady who, the very famous lady, they made a movie called Gorillas in the Mist. Diane Sawyer. No. Diane something. Wasn't it Diane something?
Yeah, I didn't know. I could see her, but
she actually went and lived with the gorillas,
right.
and mated with them. No, she didn't mate with them. She
communicated
with them, and she had Diane something or other.
Okay, all right. There's a little bit of that. One of these days we'll really do a... Shut up. How do you shut this guy up? Where's stop on this thing? Even I don't know. Here, wait. Wait, stop. I can't find stop. That's backwards. Here, where is stop? I got it. What was her name? Diane what? That was her name. No. So you see... And as I'm listening to it, as I said, I don't pre-listen to this stuff. I just found that and spot check it. There's a, that was Stan Gutkowski in the background. He happened to be over, that particular week. Stan Gutkowski, is, living somewhere again. He's living somewhere up in Maine, and I hope he's well. he came by. Once in a while, somebody came by. And of course, there was a time, even before that show. So I knew we went well before 2002, because Kristen Cotolo was here at one point, also with, and Larry Michalich was here. So we had, sometimes we had three people here with separate mics.
So the show wasn't always just me, but it did start off just me. And I don't know why I mentioned that right off the bat. Where I was going with that, I don't know. Omel was talking about not safe for work. We've always been safe for work. So whatever I was getting at with that. Pinball-O-Rama is Seven's Pinball-O-Rama. Go back to that now. Is graylands.ca. Those are places you should go and visit. I wish I knew exactly what I meant by... See, I am a difficult historian. That Dr. Futtenstein was right. Last year at this time, I was visiting a doctor for gout. And I think... I'm not sure if you can get gout anywhere, but I got it at my... Yeah, you can get it anywhere. Yeah, you can get it in... You can get it anywhere. Illinois, Paris, Moscow. You can get gout anywhere. I had it in my foot. And I called him Dr. Futtenstein. I'm not going to reveal his real name. It's not necessary for me to badmouth Dr. Futtenstein, okay, to you or in public. Doesn't make any sense. But I called him Dr. Futtenstein, and that's the deal. And that was last year at this time. And, well, I can't remember last year at this time. So then what? Why did I bring that up? Wow. Okay. Because of all the stuff that I have here, something gave me that difficult... He's the one who called me a difficult... That's right. He called me a difficult historian. I did not know that was a medical term. I mentioned it here last year sometime. That's it. He called me that and gave my regular dolly. He was an irregular... He was an irregular doctor. My family doctor, even though I had very little family, my family doctor... The guy who I've known for years who takes care of me with certain health matters, until they go too far, and then he has to hand me over to an irregular doctor. But he, knew because Dr. Futtenstein told him I am a difficult historian. And I embrace the title. I mean, that is my kind of title. Bard of Broadcasting, Godfather of Internet Radio, and the distant, did I say distant? The difficult historian, me, Frank Atola. The difficult historian. And it would, you know why? It was because of the way I spoke to him and how he did not get into the rhythm that you are now into when I speak to you and when on this show. There's rhythm, there's a dynamic. You heard it. I haven't changed since I was much younger. Then, as you just heard, it hasn't changed. I didn't make up a voice or get a character or anything. I just came on the air here and did this. And I was either loved or hated. And I now am either loved or hated and will be continued and will continue to be loved or hated for this. A difficult historian. So it's when I tell a story, I also am given to tell the story within the story, within the story, and then, you know, run down or crawl down. What do you do in a rabbit hole? Do you crawl down it, run down it? You got it. I can't even get into a rabbit hole. In these rabbit holes, which are, called wormholes, really, I guess, in space terms. Is that space term? NASA, it's a science term, wormhole. Even though a wormhole is actually a hole where worms live and mature and breed, the wormhole, as in something like Contact, Carl Sagan's book that sold billions and billions of copies. That's a, you know what? What if every time, here I go again, here's what I mean. What if every time we said a plural instead of a singular, we literally stopped and added the S with a beat? This is one of those things that Victor Borge would have loved, right? So if I say, I had a lot of bikes, or bicycles, and add the S afterwards, after the singular, with a beat. So if I'm going to do a plural, I'm going to say a lot of words, and then I add that. Well, what if you did that? I should try it. You go, well, why don't you try it, Frank? Because you're known for doing ridiculous things like that. Maybe I'll try it. I'm going to get an electrical test, an electromagnetic test. I'm going to be tested for electromagnetics in less than a week. And next time I'm on the show, which would be next week, as long as I make it through to the electronic test and then out of it, which I'm sure the odds are very good. And maybe I'll tell you about that and about all the machines they used on me. So Dr. Futtenstein told my regular doctor, well, I'll just say John, Dr. John, to the right place and then right time. And right, we'd great if my family doctor was Dr. John, the guy who played down in Louisiana. Could have been the right place. Should have been the right time. Could have been the wrong face. Could have been the wrong rhyme. And wouldn't it be great if that guy was my doctor? It was not. I'll just call him John because I'm not going to use his last name. He's a big fan of this show and of all our videos, and he's a great guy. Dr. Futtenstein told Dr. John, not the John from Louisiana, did you hear also, see, here goes again, did you hear that Louisiana was voted the worst state in which to live? Whew, okay. So he tells in the report, the specialist, who Dr. Futtenstein was the specialist, for God's sakes, would he be Dr. Futtenstein? Would he have the word foot in his name? Even in my creation, if he wasn't a specialist, he told Dr. John that I was a difficult historian. And when Dr. John said that to me, I went, wait, hold on a second. What is a difficult historian? You seem to know. That would be an odd phrase if it wasn't a phrase in the medical profession. Okay, if you just made up a phrase like that and put it, which is part of the jargon of being a doctor. I did not know that until then. If you made up one, as I do, I'll tell doctors. And when I was in the hospital recently, which I did not tell you all the stories about, I made up various phrases like that. And these people did not know what I was talking about because it wasn't part of the lexicon, part of the jargon, or the lexicon. And I didn't know this phrase, but Dr. John knew it. So when Dr. Futtenstein wrote to Dr. John and said, hey, he's a difficult historian. All he was saying was I didn't describe to him what was wrong with me so that it made the kind of sense or it was simple and, it was too expressive. It was what I do here. I told him a lot of things, and I went on. Someone else would have said, oh, it hurts. It started when I couldn't walk well, and then I felt the pain. And I don't mean to make fun of other people who are talking about their illnesses, but I did. Someone else would have said, just said it even regular. I won't give you a funny voice. Would have said, well, it started when I, and you see, I can't do it without a funny voice. I gotta make up a character. What can I tell you? Well, it started when I got up and my foot felt a little bad and then I couldn't walk well. I had to get a cane. I didn't do that. Okay. I did it like I would do it here on the show. Cause that's the way I speak. It's the way I talk. It's the way I express myself. By the way, my name is Frank Cotolo, a man whose name adorns the title of the show. This is Cotolo Chronicles, and I'm going to be here, and we're going to have a lot of stuff. I didn't even think, and I knew, even though I know I'm not going to get to everything I was going to get to, even though it's a potpourri of stuff, because something else was going to come up. I had no idea I was going to talk about that, because I forgot the phrase, difficult historian. But if you tell somebody who's not in the medical industry, do this once. Someone asks you for a story about yourself, and tell them right off the bat, you sure you want to hear this? Because I am a difficult historian. And they'll go, what? So if they're not into medicine, if they're not into pharmacy, if they're not into doctorism, which is not even a thing, it's like physicians or nurses or physical therapists or not even mental therapists even. You know, if you're a difficult historian, I imagine, well, psychiatrists are doctors, so they know. They would know the phrase, okay? So what I'm saying is, if you tell somebody who's not in any of those industries or professions, you tell them, you sure you want to hear this? Because I'm a difficult historian. They don't know what the hell you're talking about. Just want to hear whatever it is if they ask it. So just tell them. Or just tell them you don't want to hear that. I don't tell that story. And maybe there's people would say, here I am. Here I go again. Another character. Because these people I grew up with in my head, their voices traveling through my cerebrum, my frontal lobe, my lobal front. And as Steve Allen used to say, I don't want a frontal lobotomy, but I don't mind a bottle in front of me. I'm Frank Cotolo, the man's name, but don't the title of the show. I told you that already. And I'm going to get into a number of things that I said I would. You know, I'm going to play something for you because I found it. I find these things because YouTube, of course, has everything in the world. I don't mean to do a commercial for a product, but this stupid, ridiculous song, you know, jingles are very rarely used anymore for spots, commercial spots, be them radio, television, or now internet. And, you know, a lot of real songs, well, those were real songs. No, songs that were not specifically meant for the product are now representing the product, and they're cutting them up and editing them. So, you know, you'd see two elderly ladies go to a pharmacy, and in the back is the music from California Girls. And you know, you hear the Beach Boys sing. They just cut it up. And that's how they're making money these days. And there's lots of other, you know, Rolling Stones have sold songs that, you know, Under My Thumb, I guess, is for what? Is that for nail clippers? I don't know. You know what I'm talking about, though? I mean, the songs, especially from the 60s, because that's now the retiring generation are now those people, that generation. So they're using those, and very rarely, but every once in a while, you're going to get a song. I laughed just thinking about this because it's so childish. It's so stupid. But it does exist. Pepto-Bismol is a product. It's still out there. I remember this when I was a kid. I could not even put my nostril to the mouth of the bottle without gagging. It smelled so terrible. And then they made it pink, and they put something in it so that it, I had a doctor. My mother brought me to this doctor when I was a kid, and he always used to flavor something. Well, he used to prescribe, I wasn't into taking pills, okay? A liquid medicine. And he'd prescribe it, and he thought it would be wonderful to make it taste like candy. Now, let me tell you something. You could add sweet or candy-like flavors to a medicine, to something that is it's a medicine, okay? And its very nature of it, the very fiber of it, is terrible tasting. And if you add blueberry, strawberry, cherry, banana, whatever you add to, it's just like eating one of those fruits if they're spoiled, all right? So if you got a bad strawberry, as they say in Great Britain, if you get a bad strawberry and you put it in your mouth, you'll, ugh, that tastes terrible, but it still tastes like a strawberry, okay? So this doctor used to, you might as well just hold your nose and drink the crap, right? Swallow the medicine, get it over with, and then put something in your mouth to make your mouth, take the taste out of your mouth. But he did this, and it was, and like I said, he thought it would help, but what did he know? He knew nothing. He wasn't a difficult historian. He was a difficult pharmacist. Maybe, no, that doesn't work either. He's a difficult doctor, giving me that stuff, because, but I guess he would have given me a pill, but in those days, they couldn't get little pills. You know, I don't even know what that was all about. But in the 50s, pills were big. All pills were big. Dr. Kemmelhor, and I could use that name because that was actually his name, and I'm not going to say another name. And because he's dead, and no, there's probably not a Kemmelhor in the entire nation, no less world, where I am broadcasting to the entire world. There are probably no people named Kemmelhor left on the face of this earth. I didn't know any Kemmelhors but him anyway. By the way, that is the name of my new book. I didn't know any Kemmelhors but the doctor, by Frank Cotolo. I'll be over at Bookbinders, Bookmasters, and Banana Book Blasters to sign that book. I'll be signing books. In fact, I'll sign any book you buy. But I heard this Pepto-Bismol, because I still watch commercial stations. I'm sorry. And you know what? When you get stuff that you can listen to or watch anytime you want, like on demand, and, you know, Viacom, Comcast, and all the other dial a telesatellite TV, direct dish. Whenever you get, and you want to watch these things, there are still commercials. That's how they charge them more, I guess. So I do watch some shows on demand. It's a great, and that was it. Whoever thought of that was smart. Don't just play again, replay. On demand makes it sound like you're in control, right? Go to on demand, your demand. I demand to see it now, right now. I'm going to see all the show. See what I did there? I did the S. I did the Victor Borger S thing. And I'm going to write this down. We'll do the add S to plurals after. Write this down quick. Do it. Add S to plurals. Talk. I'm going to write a talk so I know. Because I'll forget any of this stuff. So much stuff goes on in my head. After singular. Don't forget, the laughs are real, but the entertainment is fake. The entertainment is fake, but the laughs are real. If you laugh at them. Okay, let me get back to this. I want to play this for you. I'm not advertising. Please, any station I'm on, this is not a free advertisement. In fact, Pepto-Bismol, in its liquid form, is still pretty putrid to put in your mouth. Maybe it works to some people, maybe it doesn't. It's over the counter. Over the counter things never work as well as prescription. But this commercial has a band playing in it. A band playing the jingle. And the jingle, when I heard it, and I'm gonna go play it for you, and then I'm gonna describe the visual if you haven't heard the visual, okay? Put on the monitor here. And you're going to hear this and listen, you know, sounds like we're just talking and everything, but you listen to the band. It's only 15 seconds. Listen to this.
When you've got nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea, nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea, here's Pepto-Bismol. Nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
Okay, here are the lyrics to this. Okay, wait. Let me get the lyrics to this here. Let's play it again here. I'll get you. There's a band playing. I am not kidding you. This is still making me laugh. Okay. There's a guitar, a banjo, a stand-up bass, right?
Is that stand-up bass?
Yeah. I don't know what that guy in the back has. And a guy in the front with a tambourine. And they're singing. Here are the lyrics. The lyrics are, let's see. Let me get the lyrics for you. Oh, it didn't. Look at that. It wouldn't do that? What is this? Here's the, when you get nausea, nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea. Probably one of the most misspelled words on the face of the earth, okay? When you get, it goes, nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea. Now, the band, the five-person band, they're dancing. And when, and they're, you know, putting their hands for nausea, heartburn, indigestion, your stomach up. But when they say diarrhea, they all stick their asses out as they're singing. And it is just so stupid. It is so childish that I went, right, that the child in me goes nuts. And it's funny. Nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach. Now imagine that if you haven't seen this. Imagine what I'm telling you. Let me get them again here and we'll hear them. They start right off the bat.
When you've got nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea, nausea, heartburn, indigestion.
Oh, yeah, what he does is he puts a nausea, he puts his head, a hand on his head. They put the hand on the head. Oh, she's playing a fiddle. The other, it's a girl in the background, the fifth one playing a fiddle. So it got, so stupid.
Nausea.
Wait, I gotta describe.
Nausea, heartburn.
He's got his hand, but when his hand is moving from his chest to his stomach to his head. Nausea, upset stomach, but he does.
Digestion, upset stomach.
I don't know why it's so stupid. They all turn.
cats stick their asses out. Who sold this commercial? Anybody? Can anybody tell me who sold this idea to the people who make Pepto-Bismol? I don't know. But the first time I saw it, it was just, you know, just like seeing it was going to be stupid. And it was stupid. But I watched the band, and it's okay because the guy's just moving his hand. But when they say when he said diarrhea, and it went, it's just I cracked up. And every time it comes on, I'm completely at a victim of my. I'm a complete victim of my. Of that. You know what I'm saying? Play again. You got to find this if you haven't found it yet. Or if you've not watched it, or if you don't watch tell whatever it is, or maybe you're, you know. But here they go.
Here's Pepto-Bismol.
Here's Pepto-Bismol.
Cause a heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
Okay, then here they are again.
When you've got nausea, heartburn, indigestion.
Wait, I gotta tell you this too. There's a drum there. There's no drummer, but there's a drum. There's a bass drum, you know, the big one in the middle that usually has the name of the group on it, okay? And it says Pepto-Bismol. Nobody's playing the drums. There's just this drum, bass drum, sitting in front of the banjo player, and it says Pepto-Bismol. So I wonder if these guys do any other songs. That would be, you know what this would be? This would be something you do at midnight. When they would say, you know, we have a hashtag. Let's have hashtag wars. What are other songs? The Pepto-Bismol. And we could do that too, you know. What are other songs the Pepto-Bismol group would do other than this?
When you've got nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea. Nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
Here's Pepto-Bismol.
Nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
15 seconds is just hilarious. I just had to share that because that, and you know what it's called? Country Fried Dancing. So that's the move. Okay. You put your head on your hand. I mean, you put your hand, hand on your head, your mouth, your chest. So it's, upset stomach. And then when you get to your stomach, you go around like you would if it was yummy, yummy. And then you bend over and stick your ass out for the lyric. Diarrhea. So there you go. I'm in my little roller stool here, and it just goes away from the maestro because the entire floor is slanted somehow. Who knows? Upset stomach, indigestion, nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach. Hey, now I know all the lyrics. Nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea. But, and it's funny. This is contagious. Because when you hear the word, once you've seen this and you hear the word diarrhea, every time you hear that word, you want to just take that pose and do the dance, the country fried dance that these guys do. Oh, God, wait. Hold on a second. Well, coffee, you know, it is sweet as love. I forgot to put honey in it and no sugar. Okay, enough of that. No, enough already. That's just too much. Okay. So I did want to share that with you. And I continue to share things with you as we go into our second hour. And I was going to talk about, I am going to talk about more stuff that's going on around there. There it is, Diane, the country fried dancing. Upset stuff. Okay, let me cross that out so I know I've said that. In case I go back and go, you know, I didn't say this. I did say it. I want to talk about a couple of other things. Of course I do. And then maybe I'll even play some of, I don't know. Should I play it? I don't know. I want to remind, before we take our little 10 seconds or 30 seconds here, or a minute, or whatever it might be, that at the sound of our show ending, if you're listening to the live broadcast or you're listening to another station that runs Tom Savino's show after mine, that, of course, being Savino Veritas. Savino Veritas. It will follow the show. And it's always good to have new stations that have not yet gone to juicedtalk.com and have taken, and you can, and broadcast The Tom Savino, Savino Veritas shows are all archived there, along with me, The Artist D, and The Fabulous Show, and the other shows, Velvet, and whoever else is there. And Dead Air, of course, the Dead Air, Tom Savino, Frank Cotolo, Dead Air tapes from the 70s. All that stuff free and usable. Use them whatever you want. Stick them on your station. You know, you need content and you need alternative content, content that no one else, well, anybody else can have it. And I know a lot of stations take advantage of that. Some of them don't because they try to cheat us and sell. They sell, do they sell? Yeah, some of them sell, I don't know, they sell spots or what have you. Let's do this and come right back.
The Cthulhu Chronicles, the internet talk show from the neo-postmodern world.
I think we made make a hit out of that somehow. Did we? My name is Frank Cotolo. My name is Name joins the title of the show. I am here. And I, you know what I want to do? I want to say, let's see, just off the top of my head, even though I'm going to do this, if Dusty Nathan, a longtime friend of ours, I've been on his show. He's on my show. We do shows. We do everything. Rich. Let's see if Dusty is there. Oh boy, Dusty. He was hacked at one point. Didn't I tell you about that thing that was going around Skype? I told you there, Dusty. Are you there? Dusty. See what's going on with Dusty. Does this work? I am, the Bard of Broadcasting. And we're just gonna see if Dusty Nathan is around. Maybe we'll put him on the show and see what he's doing, cause he's been gone for a while. And it looks to me like he's invisible, but he's still there. Somehow, we don't know. It's a funny thing about some people, when they disappear from their social network positions, they just disappear. And then they come back and they're everywhere and then they talk a lot and do a lot. But like, he's not around. And he didn't answer me when I wrote to him on Facebook. By the way, you can write to me on Facebook. All you gotta do is go to Facebook. I'm Frank Cotolo at Facebook. Boy, there's some people here. Here's Farzan. Farzan, wow, he was, and Faisal. Faisal and Farzan were some of the first fans. And of course, they're alliterations. Faisal and Farzan. Doesn't that sound like a new, show that's gonna be on Faisal and Farzan Wednesday at 8, and then you can get it on demand. I demand you get the demand. Look at all these people. How is Ian doing? I don't know. Now I'm looking at all these names as we talk. Why not? Nobody's online. Everyone's invisible. Nobody dares put their complete. Isn't that something? What is that? You know, stay invisible. I want to be on, but I don't want to be on. I don't get that. Here's Matt Snell in the Sacramento. What the hell isn't he on? Look at these people. How many people do you have in your? Here's Frank from Overnightscape. He's still on. That's a podcast, one of the original podcasts of all time. Like how far? There's Richard and Russ Benjamin, of course, and I gotta get them on the show again too. There's so much that I need to do then I don't. Here's Tom Savino, who's not there yet, but he'll eventually show up, and that's that. Okay. All right. Everybody's invisible? That's the way you want to go with it? Fine. Then I'll just move on and do other stuff right here on Cotolo Chronicles. You know, I was going to do this whole thing about Enrico Caruso and Mario Lanza, but I'm not going to do that. I am. And I was also going to do this. I thought this might be a good time, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to put on a bit of The Incredible Shrieking Man, a classic Cotolo Chronicles thing. That, because so many people request these shows, and then I wind up, you know, not kicking the can down the road. Is that what they call it, kicking the can? I want to mention a couple of things. In Twitter, you know the Twitter, you know the accounts that don't have pictures, and they call them the egg, the Twitter egg, because if you don't have to show up a picture or on a profile picture or something up that identifies person who runs the account, unless it's, well, anyway, if there's nothing there but the Twitter egg, okay, then, and a lot of people have been using accounts for various, various nefarious behavior. Like the various nefarious behavior. Well, I better write that one down. Various nefarious behavior. And Twitter is hammering down, that's the wrong term. No, it's really cracking down. There you go. Cracking down. Isn't it funny how you could use another word and it doesn't mean what, and it doesn't sound right, even though the whole thing is almost, I think it's a euphemism. Cracking down. I'm cracking down. But if you say, I'm hammering down, people go, what are you talking about? You mean cracking down. They're cracking down on, and the police are cracking down on the crime in the neighborhood. And the company is cracking down on people who steal stationery, right? Cracking down. But if they say, the police are hammering down, they're not hammering down. You don't hammer down, you crack down, right? You crack down, you don't hammer down. When it comes to these various items, these various behaviors. Now you know what I'm doing, unless you came in the second half of the show and you don't know what's going on. And then you hear the guy singing upset stomach diarrhea. The Twitter egg is dying because if you don't have some kind of profile picture up there, the Twitter is identifying these bad accounts, these accounts that refuse to identify themselves, even if it has a name. If you put up your name, Charles Hansen, I just made this name up. I know there are Charles Hansons out there. Oh, wait a second. You could do it with name too. Charles Hansen out there, but I don't, I just put up that name and then there's no picture and it doesn't even have a profile, doesn't say anything. And it's just, the egg. It's got the Twitter egg. The Twitter egg is dying. That comes from Wired Magazine, a great online and hard copy magazine that covers, whoa, so many things digital, so many things on the Hallelujah Trail. That was an endorsement, not an advertisement. I don't tell you to buy anything, but I do tell you that that's a wonderful publication. And so the Twitter egg. So don't get any ideas. You start, and especially you people who are out there who are doing various nefarious things. All right. This is just a good catch up week. You know, we just catch up with certain things and we get through a lot of stuff. And what is this? Okay. We could, but, we could show, you know what I should do? I was going to do that. Let's see if I get I'll get you a Grandpa Barry thing here. Well, since there's no one else. Grandpa Barry. Let's see if he shows up. It has a weird how it doesn't show up. Certain things don't show up on, says, thank you, Grandpa Barry. They have it. It's not even him. They have if you just put in Grandpa Barry, you get a gigantic number of things. Liam and Grandpa Barry. That's not Grandpa. That's not our Grandpa Barry. God knows what Grandpa Barry is that. Maybe I should put heartfelt. Almost heartfelt. Oh, it's an almost heart attack. This is what happens when you heartfelt. Almost heartfelt. Let me just put that in. I love how spiders find these almost heartfelt stories. Here we go. Let's play a thing and tell you that you could always go to the Yahoo or the Yahoo or the, I think the website itself, Mr. Barry, has almost heartfelt. No, it's not heartfelt. I put, no wonder he didn't get it. It still found it. Almost heartwarming stories. Let me find one and we'll play on an almost heart, a life-saving kidney. Let's play this one from Barry, Grandpa Barry. And Barry will be on the show again. So let's play a life-saving kidney. Here's a, here's Grandpa Barry, okay? Can we play this? There we go.
This is Grandpa Barry with another almost heartwarming story. Today's story, a life-saving kidney. A life-saving kidney. Roger Atkins and his twin brother Roy were always close. Not only did they look alike, but from the time they were little, they even spoke their own twin language. Often, when one twin would start a sentence, the other would finish it. They enjoyed an idyllic childhood in their little town. Everyone just loved those twins. They were well-behaved and yet fun-loving. One of their favorite pranks was for Roger to pretend he was Roy and for Roy to pretend he was Roger. When they would reveal what they had done, everyone had a good laugh. The twins grew into strapping young men. They met wonderful young women and were planning a joint wedding when tragedy struck. Roger was diagnosed with a rare kidney ailment. Medication and dialysis wouldn't help. Roger would need a new kidney. Just as the doctors began to hunt for a compatible donor, Roy said, "I would be honored to donate my kidney to my brother." The doctors quickly abandoned their search for other donors because Roy was a perfect match. Roy's kidney would save Roger, and they would both go on to live happy lives. The day finally came for the operation. "Let's do this," said Roy. "I'm ready if you are," answered Roger. The operation began. The doctors removed Roger's kidney, and just as they were about to replace it with Roy's, they discovered something. Roy had the same rare disease, and he would need a new kidney as well. But now, with the operating room covered with diseased kidneys, it was too late to find another donor. Just as they were born on the same day, the twins died on the same day. The moral of the story. If you are a twin, you may have the same medical issues your twin has. So don't be so quick to volunteer as a donor.
Written and performed by Barry Meadow and produced and directed by Randy Hicks. You can get, for more stories, go to almostheartwarmingstories.com, YouTube channel, or you can subscribe there, or you could go to the website. Stomach diarrhea. Thank you, Barry. We'll have a, Mr. Barry Meadow will be on the show again soon. I thought I'd give you a little taste of Grandpa Barry's almost heartwarming stories. I talked a couple of weeks ago, if not last week or whenever, about Reddit. I'm a late arrival to the Reddit landscape here in cyberspace. The American social news aggregation called Reddit. And what I'm doing is I'm asking people, why don't you do this? Why don't you, maybe I'll do it. And then we could all meet there. And maybe I'll start a subreddit. Now a subreddit is a little place within a place. Within the website of Reddit, there are subreddits and there are categories of, you know, motion picture films or still films, and there's all sorts of stuff there. People, celebrities, not celebrities. Songs, things, whatever junk you could toss in there, right? So all of the things, you know, I said, well, we could toss our junk in there too. We should start a Cthulhu Chronicles subreddit. And if I do that, and they will, I will tell everyone to go there, post pictures. This is going to be completely open. Pictures, what do they call them? Threads, ask questions, and it doesn't necessarily have to be related to me. It can be related to the website, CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com, information and news about the show, or things we talk about. That's what I really wanted. I don't want it to be like a fan place. I don't want a fan place, but a place where we can interact. So I'll write back to you. You write to me. You ask questions. We talk about these particular things. We make fun of these things. I don't even care. You don't have to take me seriously. You shouldn't either. I mean, you could, but you can put your own opinion if you want to take yourself seriously, for God's sake, for any sakes, for Buddha's sake, for God's sake, for space sake, for anything's sake. Do that. So I have to, my first thing to do is to start a subreddit, call it Cotolo Chronicles, and then start adding stuff in there. People will come. Because I'm telling you to here too. And don't give me that we build it crap. People will come. Don't give me that Field of Dreams junk. I'm not talking about that. Give me this, which is, you know, come along, have some fun. And people I know, people who are parts of the shows, and we could link to people who are guests on the shows and their stuff. Okay. We could do any number of things, but it was only, and I don't know why Reddit got away from me. I don't know the history of Reddit. Of course not. I'm a difficult historian if I did know, but I know my history with Reddit, and it does not go back that far. It only goes back a couple of months because I didn't know, like, I heard of it. People said this, that, and the other thing about Reddit. I had no idea what was going on. But now I have gone to Reddit. I should go there more because I'm going less and less to Facebook. Although if you do become my friend, you can get in touch with me there. I'm staying there. I was there from almost the beginning, so why leave now? And you can get to me there, but I think if we start our own subreddit, Cotolo Chronicles, that'll be great. Or it won't be. You know, it'll be a complete disaster and no one will do anything, but it will be, I'll use it related to me and books and things I do. You can do it related to you and related to me because you know me about that. And then if you start a subreddit yourself and I think there's any interest at all I would have in it, I'll join yours. Because anybody can join, you could just click, you want your subreddits. You click on a Reddit you want to follow or join or whatever they call it. And then you can do that, and then you get access to go in there and speak and comment. If you can go into any one of these subreddits, but you can, this is how I've learned it, but you can't comment, I think, unless you're a member. Is that true? I don't know. I don't know the rules. I didn't read them. I do this stuff as I go along, and anyone can tell you that from the very beginning, this is what was going on with me in this world of working this stuff in, there's one sip left. Doing all this stuff on the internet because I didn't learn the hows or whys. So I learn things as I go along. It's the way I learned to ride a bike. It's the way we all learn to ride bikes, okay? Because we don't know how to do it. So we just get on and we all develop a different style of bike riding, even though we perform the same perfunctory movements in order to keep the bike moving, right? In order to keep it in motion. So, that's the way I do things with all internet stuff. And I'm afraid to say that's probably the way I've done things, learning anything in my life, which I do not recommend. It just works for me. And like all things, if something works for you and it doesn't disrupt your life or make your life or corrode your life or make your life weirded out, then I guess it's okay, right? Because that's the same thing. Everything from like everything, then it's okay. So if you learn a special way, it's like, let me tell you something from a writing point of view as a writer. You get a lot of rules and that are useless rules, and you read a lot of writers when you're young and you're just writing and you want to be a writer. Why? Because I have something to say. What is it you have to say? I want to be a writer. Why? Because I have something to say. What is it you want to say? Okay, on and on and on. So when you're young and you don't really have your own voice, so you look at how other people write and then you hear ways, things you're supposed to do. The rules, there are rules, and the rules are great to write well, but there are also things that can hold you back, rules that can hold you back because you haven't developed a way to handle your own expression in words. And when you learn that way, and it's like, well, that's not the way you should do it. No, no, if it's working for you and someone reads your stuff, then it is work. It is good. It does work. And that's pretty much, I goes for everything. And I think writers, it takes a long time, way too long to learn that. Nobody just sits down and goes, you know, I'm going to be a writer, and then suddenly writes something. Usually write too much and too wordy, too verbose. Verbosity is part of the deal, right? And the same thing with like exercise, or riding a bike, you know? A lot of people ride bikes a certain way, and they say, this is how you ride. This is how you get the best. This is how you do this. It's the same thing with play baseball. They'll tell you, you don't want to be a better hitter. Want to be a better hitter, here's how you swing. Okay, so you take X amount from, you know, you always take something from an expert, or someone who really knows how to do something, but you have to adapt it to your own ability and your own level. And the same thing with writing. And this is all part, excuse me, of being neo-postmodern. You're taking absolutes and wonderful things and rudimentary functional things from areas, and you're applying them to you and how you do it, and then what goes on with you. So you may never be as good as those people, and you may get, so say you have 10 perfect teachers. I mean, 10 people who really do things. Nobody does them perfectly anyway, but do things and know all the ins and outs of what? Let me think of something. Of something. Swimming. Let's say swimming, okay? Now, they tell you what to do. They tell you how to get better doing it. Okay, fine. But you're still going to reach a certain level, and you're still going to do it your way. Even though you do the basic things, and you learn basic things and build upon that, and the things that you build upon those basic things are you and your ability, how you handle it, how you do it, and how well you might be at it. It includes instinct, it includes experience, all right, and knowledge. And then with those three things, but people downplay the instinct part. So you have a certain feel for something that alters. You know, that's how great things occur. Great things happen in the nature of contradiction. And so if you learn to do something and then you do it a little differently, now if that catches on, you know, that could become the norm in that particular field. But because you do it differently, if you succeed doing it differently, people are going to look and go, wait a second. Let's take for a second Django Reinhardt, a famous bohemian guitar player who lost two of his fingers on the side where he played guitar. Now, where he had to use his fingers, that would be on the strings. And the other hand, you strum. Now, I don't know a lot about, I don't know, I'm a difficult historian, and he, when it comes to Django Reinhardt. But you know, I don't know anybody who learned to play guitar with just technically two fingers and do all the things he did just with the absence of two fingers. Cause you need four fingers to really do it well and do it right. And I mean right. And yet, something happened to his hands. I don't know if he was born that way. I have no idea. You could look it up. Django Reinhardt. I dare you to even spell it. And he played. He's dead, of course. And let me give you an idea. If I just put up, and this is for you people who don't know Django Reinhardt, okay? Because if you know Django Reinhardt, you know what I'm talking about. And if I put him in here, let's find him. D-J-A-N, Django Unchained. Here's Django Reinhardt. Django. I got, so is that Django, Django, Django. Now, this is Django Reinhardt. Now, I don't know here, a ghost, what is that? Ghost in a Shell. I have no idea what that. Here's him, Three-Fingered Lightning, it's called. Three-Fingered Lightning. Does he have three fingers? I think he actually only plays with two fingers, doesn't he? He only plays with two fingers. Because he has, Jat and Dry Swing, 1939. Listen to this guy. He's playing with two fingers on the strings.
And straight jazz became hot.
Oh, that's loud.
To a few musicians.
What?
Whose remarkable improvisations gave jazz a new lease on life.
Yeah.
Listen to Django Reinhardt. It is the same melody, but what a difference in interpretation. These three musicians, will represent two guitars and a bass fiddle. Finally, here is Stefan Grappelli.
Oh, it's Stefan.
Virtuos violinist of hot jazz.
All these guys smoke like demons, too. Smoke like chimneys, as they used to say, right? Yeah, okay. That's Django on the guitar there. Stefan Grappelli. He's got a great name, too, doesn't he? What's on that guitar? And nobody thought you could do that. And he's now he started a style. Does he have three fingers or two? Three. No, he only has two fingers. His left hand. I didn't even... Oh, and he uses his thumb on the top there, too. Okay. So this guy's with
the magic strings of the instruments of these five musicians.
Yes.
Was formed the quintet of the Hot Club of France.
The Hot Club of France, okay. Listen to this. Okay, now people started playing like this. They were doing things differently. Look at this. Obviously, that's the violin, but I want to hear Django. Where's Django? Come on, Django. Do a little, well, you hear him. There's three guys playing. I think, three guys are playing guitar. Django is playing, he's playing a lot with just three fingers. Here he goes. You can see it in YouTube, too. You can watch him do it. It's amazing. I can't play like that with 10 fingers. Here he goes. And the other guys are playing chords, and they are using all their fingers. See? Wow. Never ceases to amaze me. Oh yeah, thank you for that, Ron. These are not electric guitars, of course, they're before. There's a little bit of Stefan Grappelli and Mr. Django Reinhardt, which I guess addresses my point, which is you learn to do something, but because you do it a little differently, because it's your app, you're able to do it. Now, I bet you there are people who have learned guitar and can play guitar terrifically, but if they lost two of those fingers that they use to play in the strings, like he's doing, they would not be able to adapt. He adapted without those, because he learned to play without those two, okay? But there is, like I said, he learned the fundamentals. Obviously, he's not playing like crazy. And he learned the fundamentals and adapted them. And then people were playing like him with four fingers. It's the same with everything. It's the same with acting. Not even just the arts. I guess, do car mechanics, do they work the same way? No, they all have their little tricks. They have their little specialties. They all have their biases. They all do that, right? So it's always different. They're always different. Because each person individually does things using a certain amount of talent and instinct, which is not knowledge and experience, and it's all one big blend. So, why? Why does this come up here right now? Because it did, okay? It came up. My name is Frank Cotolo. Man's name adorns the title of the show, Django Reinhardt. But was that because of Reddit or what? I have no idea. I have no idea. Again, I'm a difficult historian. I can't even give you the history of how I brought this about. I'll tell you what I can do. I could look for somewhere, I can look for somewhere on the, let's see, let's find a little bit of the, Incredible Shrinking Man show here. What do we got? You're going to hear me now twice, I think.
Over the next half hour, we find that our hero is getting smaller. He's getting smaller. Little incidents go on with the, you know, he's like, gee, man, you know, he thinks he's losing weight right off the bat. I think I'm losing weight, blah, 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 ding, ding, ding. You know, and then he's going to go to his doctor, and then he goes, and the doctor is one of those doctors who always plays a doctor in those 1950s movies. If you see a lot of those movies, you see a lot of people who are in it who are in other movies. The doctor, lots of times there's a guy who played the doctor who always was the doctor, and this, that, and the other thing. And he goes, and the doctor doesn't know what's wrong. We're going to do some tests, blah, blah, blah. And they start the tests, and he's getting smaller. And this is incredible. He's which from whence comes the Incredible Shrinking Man? Okay, so the bulk of the story is, of course, he's going to keep getting smaller. Now, as I was watching this when I was a kid, at first watching it, I've seen this countless times. As I'm watching it, I'm thinking it's going to take the shape of a usual horror movie. When it was, we're going to watch somebody either turn into a monster and die because it can't turn out of a monster vis-a-vis like, you know, a werewolf or something. Or we're going to watch a beginning and a middle and an end. We're going to see three parts, and then, and in the third act, it will resolve itself. In this case, a guy who's short, who's going to disappear, is either going to die, or so they're going to find something. Because doctors, you know, once he becomes a freak, I mean, you know, the newspapers find out about him and everything, and they come and ask him to write a book, because, you know, before you get too small. Are you ever too small to write a book? I don't know. But so they ask him all this stuff, and so I'm thinking, okay, so what's going to happen? What's going to happen? This one, so I'm just watching. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And things keep happening differently than I've ever seen them in this kind of a science fiction film. Now, obviously, he's a married man. He's in love with his wife. He's got a gorgeous wife and everything. It's wonderful. Okay, but he's going to lose his job. He can lose his career, right? He's going to be looked upon as a freak when he was just an ordinary person. And this in itself has connotations, social and cultural connotations, being different, right? All that stuff. It's in 100 movies, maybe 1,000. I'm not counting all that stuff. And then what's going to happen? You know, there's a point where he gets small and he's kind of like a child. And he meets a midget or a smaller person, a person who's just naturally small, who's now his size. See? And he actually re-falls in love. I mean, there's nothing he could do with his wife anymore. I mean, he's just, his relationship with his wife, she's taking care of him and she loves him and she wants him to get better or taller at least. It's like nothing's happening. And along the way, he meets someone else and his affection turns from his wife to someone who is much more like him. In that case, in that particular case, the same size. And then, so there's a, you know, and I'm going, like, that's really strange. That, you don't see that happening often. This is our hero. This is our main character. He's going through a change here. And he's actually, you know, he's feeling for someone. In fact, he starts to get ornery towards his wife. He gets, his attitude gets bad. He gets really sour and dour. Now I want to see what that's happening. So these things are different now as it's moving along and he's getting smaller. Different things are happening. Different things than would happen in your run of the mill science fiction movie. Here's something I want to see. Because I don't know it. I haven't checked this. I want to see. It says book trailer for The Incredible Shrinking Man by Richard Matheson. Let's just see. Let's play this here for a second. What is this? While boating off California coast, Scott Carey encounters a cloud of radioactive mist. you can see this. It poisons his pituitary gland, causing him to shrink. What a wonderful little thing. As Scott becomes smaller and his world grows larger. He tries to adjust to a new reality. As Scott slips away from the world he loved, it's him and his wife having problems. He must face new challenges. Fears. Dangers. Yeah, Dane, you know, he gets smaller and smaller. Are the things that become treacherous. The house cat. Can an incredibly shrinking man survive in a gigantic world? The Incredible Shrinking Man by Richard Matheson. This is a trailer for the book. This little piece that's on YouTube was produced by the music by Daniel Buckley. It was produced by the Mooresville. Let me get that back again. Yeah, I know very much. Well, it's produced by the Mooresville Public Library. Isn't that wonderful? So this, the book is still out there too, by the way. So you can get the book that's based Flight for Fear, Flight of Fear from the CD Music Therapy, blah, blah, images courtesy of Photo Bucket, blah, blah, blah. You can see this. Stills from the motion picture in The Incredible Shrinking Man, 1957, starring Grant Williams, Randy Stewart, and some other lady. Where's the Mooresville Public Library anyway? I have no idea. What a wonderful little piece. A book. They put on YouTube book trailers. And they had, if you go there, go to YouTube and you find it, and you just put in Incredible Shrinking Man. They have all these, you know, pieces of the movie and everything. I'm going to play the ending for you later. So don't go there now. Don't do this stuff now. Listen to the show and then we'll talk about that. And you can go later and watch everything. Watch the movie from the beginning to the end. You get yourself beverages, whatever it is you inhale. Do when you watch a movie, turn the lights down in a little home theater. If you got one of those high definition TVs and a big, it's fine. If you got a little TV, it's fine. I wouldn't watch this. It's going to be really hard to watch it. I don't know how anybody watches stuff on iPods. How do you watch TV and stuff on iPods? At least you got a decent sized screen on a computer. You can see, the things. Go, you know, watch it. Watch it from beginning to end. And what is this? There's something else called The Incredible Shrinking Mega Man. I don't know what. See, there's other stuff. But, you know, The Incredible Shrinking Man. There's comedy versions, blah, blah, blah. All sorts of stuff. There's even something in here about how if you're interested in films, how they did some of the effects back in those days. A lot different than how it's done today, of course, because it's all CSI. I said it wrong. Computer graphic. CGI. CSI. You know, you mix up because there's all those. What are those TV shows? CSI Miami. CSI Norfolk. CSI Nashville. CSI Los Angeles. CSI San Francisco. Are there any other shows on television other than that and a couple of comedies? I have no idea. I have no idea anyway. I have plenty of ideas, actually. And that's why I carry around a book. And you should when you're listening to this show, your Cotolo Chronicles notebook. You should have your three beverages to replenish your precious bodily fluids as we move toward the completion of the first hour. Then we're going to talk more about this. Okay, so now you know what happens, right? That's the idea. Gets smaller. He has to face the reality of new realities, new worlds. And he leaves the world he loved behind. So as I was telling you, there's things that happen that don't ordinarily happen in these movies. I'm 7, for goodness sakes. You know? I'm already having, when I grew up, I'm having, religion pelted into me. I don't go to religious school, but I go to religious instructions. I think I've told you about that. If you don't know that they used to have that stuff, it used to take you out of public school if you're a Catholic on Wednesday afternoons at 3 o'clock and send you over to a church where they would give you religious instructions.
So around that time, I'm really, really in bad shape because that stuff is not good. That's a whole nother story, okay? And you have heard some of the stories about how, about where I grew up. When we had Dom Simi on the show and we talked about our high school and our junior high school and the, you know, the violence and the atmosphere of angst. You want to talk about angst. But you'll know that that was regular public school. It was just as tough in Catholic school. And when we were taken from public school and brought into Catholic, you would think we'd be finding sanctuary. You know, you would think it was sanctuary that he's going to from public school where it's horrible and violent to Catholic school for his religious instructions. And wow, things are great because suddenly there's God and there's the nuns and the priests. It was just as bad. This is the 50s. So here's Scott Carey. That's the name of the character. The Incredible Shrinking Man. But he lives in that world, and now he's shrinking. Now, the description of the book there, when it says a radioactive mist, is only because, I remember, they used to use that whole thing, because that thing about radioactivity is as having these strange effects. It made ants gigantic so that they, you know, if it wasn't from outer space, and it was a monster in the 50s, you could bet that it became a monster because of some nuclear fallout. That was the gimmick, okay? So that's what happened. So there's this radioactive mist. This is mist. In the beginning, you don't know. And the doctor only speculates when he goes to the doctor. Could have been something radioactive, you know? I don't even think that's the way the doctor talked. That's pretty much a bad imitation of Walter Cronkite, isn't it? Because my voice is so high. When Walter Cronkite was my age, his voice was, amazing. Maybe it's because I never had my tonsils out. Could you believe that? You know, they used to take tonsils out of kids like they used to pull baby teeth. It's funny. And I use the word funny in terms of it's sad. When I think about the 50s, I could think about these moments and elements of wonder because I was a child. And, you know, and you'll find those in any particular, certainly in this culture, in this Western culture, you do find those elements and tools and situations of wonder just because you're growing up. But man, it was horrible. When I think about it, it's like, in all, this was horrible. Everything was in the closet. No wonder you had to have so much closet space in the 50s. Because the closets were just, and they all smelled like mothballs. There were piles of mothballs everywhere. Does anyone use mothballs anymore? I'm sure glad we didn't invest in mothballs. We would have the old joke about mothballs. I'm not gonna go into that. But the 50s were dark. Very dark and black and white. It's interesting to me. It's always in itself a kind of symbolic that, you know, a lot of movies were in black and white because everything was black and white. That's what made this movie, Incredible Shrinking Man, become even more and more significant, because as it was getting more and more treacherous for Scott Carey to live, and there's a point where he has to face, he's living in a dollhouse. His wife's old the dollhouse, or she borrows a dollhouse from her niece or something. And he's living in this dollhouse. That's how small he has become. And he's living in the dollhouse. And he has, this is the part of the movie. I know it has to happen, but it does, I always look back at it and go, what? The wife, I guess she knows I have a cat, right? And she knows that her husband is now, I don't know, you know, 6-7 inches tall, and he's living in the dollhouse, and the dollhouse is on the floor in the dining room, a living room. And she knows there's a cat in the house. She goes, I'll be right back, Scott. I just have to go out for something, right? Because there's a leak in the basement. Yeah, that's what it was. There was a leak in the basement. Something happened. Water was filling up. Okay, so she leaves. And she doesn't take her husband, who's now six inches tall, and put him somewhere safe. Because you got to figure, like, well, even if it's not, even if it wasn't a cat that got in the house, it could be a large insect, which, of course, he does deal with later when he winds up in the basement. But, I mean, yeah, she doesn't do. She just, okay. So it's a little flaw, I find. But not everybody buys it. And so his confrontation with the cat means that he has to outwit the animal, which is now, remember, this is like an elephant to him, this cat. And the cat is like, who the heck are you? You know, you're not, I mean, you know, cats don't say, oh, you're just a smaller version of that guy who used to pet me. No, no work like that. So this particular confrontation launches him into a deeper and darker pit of existence as he winds up in the basement where the water is accumulating. There's a little flood going on down there. And of course his wife comes home and sees the cat licking its paws and can't find her husband. How many wives have come home and they can't find their husband? You know what I mean. And why? He's gone. Of course he's gone. You know, he has wound up to escape the cat. He somehow gets downstairs. And these stairs are gigantic. But he's, you know, he falls into the water. I think he's unconscious for a while or something. Or he floats around like he's on some sea. But he's down there. And then the man comes and a plumber or someone comes. And the water stops and blah, blah, blah. But the wife, who has come back, feels that he's dead. She thinks he's dead. Blames herself. So now in the scheme of this story, he's lost that world. He's lost his wife. He's gotten smaller. Even the little girl that he fell in, the midget that he was getting attached to, even that couldn't work because he kept getting smaller. He was constantly changing. And in that respect, there's a metaphor in itself. You know, people who live many, many years, of course, are constantly changing little by little. So is the reality changing, you know? But that's not what blows me away about the movie, because you could find that kind, those kind of literary elements, you know, metaphors, anomalies, yeah, even anomalies, any of those kind of things. You can find that in almost anything, even when they're not purposely put in there, you know. But what happens as his greatest confrontations take place, which we're going to talk about after the first hour break here, is what starts to make this one of the deepest, most spiritually affecting films of all time. The Incredible Shrinking Man.
The Incredible Shrinking Man. I don't sound any different at all from 6 years ago, in a sense. That's a great show. That was a good show. And that was only most of the first half. So you people who have asked me about shows that you want to hear again, I'm sorry I didn't play the whole show, but we'll play the second half or play the whole thing again sooner or later. Anyone who would like a show that is not archived at Juiced Talk Radio. No, not radio, Frank. JuicedTalk.com. There is a Juiced Talk Radio. There's not. JuicedTalk.com. Where you can get a lot of them. I don't know how far back that goes, but that's nervous. Look, I love the look of the clicks on the recording. I know. You know, it's not enough to do this talk, and inside of talking to the invisible millions out there, I also amuse myself in particularly dumb little ways. It's all part of the great dynamics of this kind of talk, alternative talk radio on the internet. You don't find this anywhere else. Unless they take this, as a lot of stations do, and broadcast it on landmine radio, I was going to say. Well, it's explosive content on the landline radio
brick and mortar radio. And then they, you know, sell ads. Because this guy's great here. So, and then they keep the money because they don't, yeah, it's all right. You know, what are you going to do? What am I going to do? Am I going to get a brown shirt army to go out and, charge these people? No, they take them. It's free. It's there. What are you going to do? I don't have the ability to do that. So whatever you get from it, whether it be, money, because you're cheating me out of by using this content, or if it's free and you don't have to, then whatever you get out of it is just fine with me. Unless I meet you and you find out, then I'll punch you in the face. It's that's that simple, okay? My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. This show has been amazing in a sense that it's gone in and out of time. It's got a time? No, within the 2 hours, we've multimediaed, and that's not even a word. Media is a plural. It doesn't have an S. It's not the media. You don't have to do it with that, the S. You don't have to do it at all. Books, again. Hopefully next week. It could be as early as next week. Stacey Lane Wilson. The book is So L.A. It's got a great cover, too. If you go to Facebook, tell her that you heard her name. If you hadn't heard her name before, you learned about the book, and you're looking forward to her being on Cotolo Chronicles. You know there's a Cotolo Chronicles Facebook page. Jeremy Long created that a while back. So you can go to that, too. And here I am talking about having a subreddit, as if we're going to get something going with a whole bunch of people. There are people there, but I don't tend to that site on the Cotolo Chronicles site. I don't tend to it. And people don't tend to go to it. So there's not a lot of followers and there's not a lot of people who participate. Because Facebook is, for older purposes, a wreck. You know, and it's like everything else. And they want to charge you so you could find people who can do what? They wind up just getting the big company money anyway. But this is a whole nother rap having to do with Facebook, which doesn't have anything to do with what I was talking about here. Stacey Lane Wilson, hopefully, I'm going to check my Yahoo, because she's writing to me at Yahoo, and I'm going to set up that. We'll find her on Skype, and we'll get her on Skype. And talk about the book and things that went on with her way back when. Maybe whether I'm in it or not, even though I wrote something for it, I did. So, and I'm going to try the subreddit. I'm writing it down here too. Subreddit. Cotolo Chronicles. That's how you'll find it. Cotolo Chronicles. Again, not about me. But it's me chronicling, and you can chronicle along with me. Subjects about this that we talk about on the show, things we do, whatever, you know, whatever. Because it's really open. I'm not one of those guys. And there's no particular reason to join or what have you, as you can do, as I said, on Reddit. Because now I know about Reddit. NSFW, this show is NSFW. We don't do anything. Dusty Nathan wasn't around, but we hope to get him on. Michael Laskin. And I'll be doing some acting for him. Then here's Dr. Andrew Woldar will be coming back. Heather Drain has not been on in a while. Going to get her on. Charles Dennis will come back. We're going to do Search Roulette. Going to get Angela Gordon. And other people as they surface in the Cotolo Chronicles universe? No, I don't know what to call it. And I'm really going to do spring cleaning this year. And I'm going to start early, which would mean I'd summer, fall, winter, spring, winter. On the end of winter, spring cleaning, I really got to get rid of a lot of junk. There's no reason for it to be here. And clean up some stuff. That includes, here's what I want to do too. I want to here and there have a little, Steve Allen used to do this on his show. You know, go over to the piano and just do little stupid songs and stuff. As long as we're just doing little stupid things. But I want to get my piano tuned. It's probably going to cost three times what it would have cost 2 years ago had someone come in with that big hammer and tuned it. I'm going to get that done. I'm going to clean off that whole area, clean off this whole area down here so that it's the studio that was once a thriving, pulsating, daily operation. And now it just comes down to this weekly and, of course, Friday night when my son Ray does his show from SRM Media Works. And then whatever else I do down here, because I have another computer and office going on there upstairs. So whatever that case may be, we're going to take care of that. And we're going to do some classic Catolos, and we're going to do more fake entertainment than you ever even imagined as we continue through 2017. Y2K plus 17. The books. So you can still go to CatoloChronicles.blogspot.com. You can still go to 148.ca/Frank. You know, it's backslash. They said back. They used to say, now they just say slash, because most of them are from top to bottom, leaning to the left. Not, is that stage left? No. That's, okay. And the blogs that go on there, the books at Amazon. Thank you very much for going to Amazon and buying those things. You still can. Anything else you'd like from me that maybe, you know, if you can, I don't know how you can't afford any of those books, but if you cannot afford a book or you're really in trouble with it or something, like, or you really want to read something or know something, write to me, fcatolo@yahoo.com. And I will answer. I will write to you personally. I don't have a secretary who sits and answers these things because there's no way I have many of those. But I do have many people who get in touch with me on Facebook who say they know of me or have been, and they ask for things. Facebook may be easier for you, but it's more personal if you get me at fcatolo@yahoo.com. I will answer you, and we will talk to you from there. Let me get rid of some of this stuff, and we'll get ready to hit the old theme. If you're listening, oh, no, what happened? Now it's time that I blew off the theme. How did that happen? I'll just get it again. I got it again here. Jeez. You know, one thing, another, and it's gone. What should we do? Should we do this at, no, we do this at 57, what? 57, 57, 58? I forget my little cues. I guess that's pretty much it for us right now. And again, the books, the things, Google me, find out whatever you need to find out any way you can find it out. And if you're listening live or on a station that is going to follow this show with Savino Veritas, then please stay tuned to a wonderful man, a terrific comedian, a wonderful political satirist, and a great musician and a good friend of mine. So you know it's got to be good, right? You know it. And the Twitter egg is gone, so don't go to Twitter and make stupid accounts. Wake up, it is night. Stay going and going. Don't go gone, just stay going. Good night, this is Ernstweil, wherever you may be located. This is Frank Catolo, saying good night, everyone, and leaving you now because I have nothing more to say.